I am so honored to have three outstanding gentlemen from the CMU School of Music with me this afternoon. Dr. Jose Luis Moratua, Director of Orchestral Studies, is with me today, as well as Sepehr Peraste, who is a graduate student and a student of Dr. Moratua's, a conducting student, and also Ben McDonald. And Ben is the winner of the concerto competition. They're here with me today to talk about tomorrow's concert, big concert coming up tomorrow with the CMU Symphony Orchestra at 7:30 at Staples Family Concert Hall, one of the last big concerts of the season at the CMU School of Music. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks so much.
Now, I feel like I'll be a conductor today because I am in one studio and I've got the three of you in another studio. So I'll be, giving you cues and directions and all of this. But first of all, thanks for being here today. And I know you've been very busy preparing for this concert. Dr. Moratua, tell us a little bit about what we'll hear on the concert tomorrow evening.
We have a great program tomorrow night. We will start with the CMU Consort performing Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 3, and that will be conducted and performed by Dr. Alicia Valotti, our viola professor. And then we have an orchestration by one of our own composers, Dr. Evan Ware. And this is an intermezzo for piano by Brahms, but he orchestrated it for the CMU Symphony, and we'll be performing that for the first time tomorrow night. After that, Ben will be performing the Iturralde, which is the piece that he won the concerto with, and it'll be conducted by Sepehr Peraste. And then after a brief intermission, we will do Shostakovich Symphony No. 1.
That's a really big program, mm-hmm. and a nice variety, too. It is interesting because, well, first of all, you mentioned the Brahms, and sort of a flip-flop of what Brahms did. Brahms would write his orchestral pieces and then turn them into piano four-hands pieces, sort of as a marketing tool to get them out to the public during the 1870s. So so Dr. Ware has taken this piano piece and orchestrated it.
Right.
And the other interesting thing about the Shostakovich is it was written as a graduation piece. He wrote that when he was not yet 19.
Exactly.
So this is a really interesting interesting work for the CMU Symphony to do, too.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. It's a great symphony. It just, you listen to it, and it's such a mature piece, you can't believe that a 19-year-old actually wrote it.
Yes, and then Ben playing a saxophone concerto, something a little different. We don't have here saxophone concertos a lot. There are a few, one by Alexander Glazunov, which actually folks can hear on Afternoon Classical Music tomorrow. But we don't often hear the saxophone and think about that as classical. So that's a really nice thing for you.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm super thankful for this opportunity. And like you said, it's not super common to hear saxophone with orchestra, but we're happy as classical saxophonists to be seeing it more often as time goes on.
Can you tell us a little bit about the piece you'll be playing?
Sure. So the title of the piece is Pequeña Charda, and a chardas or charda is a Hungarian dance, and Pedro Iturralde mainly dabbles in jazz saxophone, but is known to have a handful of classical pieces, and Pequeña Charda is one of them. Originally written for saxophone and piano, his son actually orchestrated this out for solo saxophone and orchestra. So it's a really, really fun piece, I'd say. It's based on a dance, so that's pretty evident while listening to it. But overall, it's just a really fun piece to play and to listen to.
And congratulations on winning the competition. When was the concerto competition, and when did you learn that you would be performing this with the orchestra?
Well, it was actually scheduled for February, but with the blizzard of 2019, it was rescheduled for, like 3 weeks later. So late February, early March was when the finals of the competition were. I'll say that. We started the year with the prelims of the competition, where all the instrument families compete against each other. So the woodwind family competes, and then the brass family, percussion, piano, et cetera, voice. And then from there, the finalists compete in Staples Family Concert Hall, and we all compete against each other. And then One winner selected and honorable mentions as well. And I came out as the winner. So
nice. I just ran across a quote. I like to collect quotes. And
sure.
I like this one I just saw today. Don't practice till you get it right. Practice till you can't get it wrong.
That's smart.
And that's obviously what you've done this year. So congratulations.
Thank you so much.
For folks that aren't aware, yes, music school is very, very competitive.
It is, yeah. It's a competitive field. You know, we strive to make it as healthy as possible,
yes.
And on always, you know, trying to support each other and compete in a field that you know is as supportive as possible. So, but it is competitive. That's true.
Well, looking forward to hearing that tomorrow.
Thank
it sounds
you so
like
much.
Lots of fun. Congratulations.
Thank you,
Dr. Mortua. Let's listen to a little bit of the music that we'll hear on the concert tomorrow, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about conducting.
Wonderful.
I have the Bach branch queued up. The slow movement, the middle movement, is very, very short, so we'll hear that, and then the final movement of the Bach Brandenburg Concerto. Folks can hear this tomorrow with the CMU Consort.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Tomorrow at 7:30 at Staples Family Concert Hall. A little bit of this work with the Boston Baroque, led by Martin Perlman. Part of the Concerto No. 3, the Brandenburg Concerto No. 3 by Johann Sebastian Bach, with the Boston Baroque, led by Martin Perlman. And everyone is welcome to come to Staples Family Concert Hall at 7:30 tomorrow to hear a concert by the CMU Symphony Orchestra, and they can hear that piece of music there. My guest in the studio today, Dr. Jose Luis Mortua, Director of Orchestral Studies at CMU, also Ben McDonald, winner of the concerto competition, and we can hear him tomorrow evening too, and also Sepper Paraste, who is a graduate assistant in conducting also. They are my guests in the studio today, and I'm so happy to have you here. Dr. Mortua, tell me a little bit about what you think about when you plan a program for the CMU Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, usually that happens at the end of the spring semester. Like, this is the time right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm juggling up some titles and, you know, getting to decide what we do.
For next year. Mm-hmm.
And I let all the faculty know. And so everybody knows what we're going to be doing, what the students should be preparing for. It's a variety of things. You know, like every 5 or 6 years, you may repeat a couple of pieces, but because it's usually a new group of students.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to repeat too much. In fact, I've rarely repeated things so far. It's always exciting because there's so much out there for orchestra repertoire that you can program. And so it's a great process. It's very exciting for me to be thinking of new titles for the orchestra every year.
Do you think about, you know, different time periods or different, like, you know, for this concert, we have Bach, we have Brahms,
mm-hmm.
Shostakovich. Are you
Absolutely.
Thinking about what the students will, as a teaching tool? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. They the repertoire that, in my opinion, they should be learning and they should be playing,
mm-hmm.
And try to vary that as much as possible. We do contemporary, we do Baroque, classical, 19th century music. The orchestration varies for each one of those. You just heard the Bach. It would be different than a piece that would have a lot of low brass and percussion. That would be perhaps, you know, more into the Romantic or late Romantic or even 20th century repertoire. So we try to combine all that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And try to give all of the musicians plenty to do.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Shostakovich? We did mention how it was written as mm-hmm. a graduation piece
mm-hmm.
When he was not yet 19.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote 15 symphonies, and mm-hmm. this is the first of
right.
those. Often we think of Shostakovich music as mm-hmm. heavy, maybe edgy, kind mm-hmm. of making a political statement.
Right.
How about this first symphony?
It's interesting because there has been some mention of the relationship of the music that Shostakovich used here to Aesop's Fables. And if you hear it, there has some sort of a childlike character initially. But there's also a lot of that sense of humor, sarcasm, all the characteristics of Shostakovich music, as well with the drama, you know, the dramatic parts and heavy parts that you just mentioned. It's all there. I even entertained hearing a little bit of that musical signature that he has in many of his works. In this particular case, I will not contend that he actually used it, But I can actually tell you, you know, where I see some sort of a variation or transformation of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just simply because, you know, I've listened to quite a bit of Shostakovich, and then, you know, you begin to try to find things in there.
We will hear a little bit of the Shostakovich in just a bit here. I'd like to talk with Sepper for a few minutes, but we'll hear the first movement of that. And Shostakovich did like all kinds of music, and mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting that there is Bach on this program also, because he used to like to say he liked all kinds of music, everything from Bach to Offenbach. So we'll hear some Offenbach today, too.
Wonderful.
And a little more Shostakovich that features some saxophone, Ben. So, Sepper, you are a graduate student of Dr. Martois in conducting.
Yes.
So if we were a fly on the wall in a conducting lesson, what does that look like? I mean, Ben goes to see his professor, Professor Nickel,
right.
And, you know, he practices, or, you know, he plays whatever, you know, his concerto, and Dr. Nickel will say, oh, you know, play this a little louder, play this a little softer, this should be slower, whatever. But as a conducting student, mm-hmm. it's not like you could have a whole ensemble at your disposal. So what do you do, like play or conduct along with recordings or like karaoke?
That's a
I do that when I'm here. No one sees me, thank goodness.
So that's a very good question. One of the most important things about being a conducting student is that that I think you have to know the repertoire very well. And also you have to study the score. And it could be very challenging because you don't have any ensemble in front of you
right.
when you're studying it
mm-hmm.
and trying to practice, you know, the cues and patterns. So when I'm at home, for example, I'm trying to put some stickers on the wall, and then I would, you know, imagine like this is flute, this is a clarinet, and the other instruments.
You put stickers on the
yeah,
wall?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, that's great! What a great visual.
So
like the flutes are like little orange stickers, and the clarinets are like green stickers, and the horns are blue.
Well,
stickers.
I write their names. I just use one color, but I know where they sit in the orchestra.
Nice.
But this is the practice that I do at home. But we are very, very lucky here at CMU because in my conducting lessons, we meet 3 days in a week. Mm-hmm. And luckily, this semester, we have a lab orchestra, a conductor's lab orchestra. And it is made of a small ensemble. It's string quintet plus piano.
Mm-hmm.
And every time when once a week I meet Dr. Marutua, we try to practice with the ensemble and rehearse the sections that are important for the conductor. For example, cueing the ensemble,
mm-hmm.
the conductor's gestures and patterns that I have to, you know, try and practice to make them better. And these are the things that are, I'm really grateful of having this ensemble here because you can't find this opportunity everywhere. And I think this is wonderful. That we have it here.
Oh, yes, because, yes, otherwise you would just be beating along with
exactly.
recordings or
that's
just,
right.
you know, hearing things in your head as right. you, or, you know, with your stickers on the wall.
Yeah.
I love that. What a great idea.
Exactly.
But is that your own idea or is that kind of a typical
thing? I would love to take credit for it, but I won't.
Oh.
It was not my idea. He did it on his own.
That's great. And if you ever, all those orchestras or groups are configured differently, so
exactly.
you know you have to move your stickers around.
Yeah.
That's really great. Well, let's listen to a little of the Shostakovich. This is the first movement, and we will hear the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra led by Jesus Lopez Cobos. Anything you'd like to tell us about this first movement, Dr. Moratua?
It's interesting because when I first analyzed this movement a while ago, I found that the opening with the trumpet solo and the bassoon seemed to be a theme. But later you find this other bum, ta 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 ti ta 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 with the clarinet in it, and I thought, oh, maybe that's actually the first theme. So I checked several sources, and most of them coincide that opening is some sort of an introduction,
mm-hmm.
and then the actual theme begins when the clarinet plays that little solo, and the second theme is that waltz-like theme that
okay.
happens later.
And we will hear that in the first movement of the Symphony No. 1 in F minor by Dmitri Shostakovich. music composed by a not quite 19-year-old, Dmitri Shostakovich. The first movement from the Symphony No. 1 in F minor. We heard the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra led by Jesus Lopez Cobos. You can hear the CMU Symphony Orchestra perform the whole symphony tomorrow evening. That's Tuesday evening at 7:30 at the Staples Family Concert Hall. And that will be conducted by one of my guests today, Dr. Jose Luis Marchua. And also my guest in the studio, Ben McDonald, who is the winner of the concerto competition. He will be performing tomorrow. And that piece will be conducted by my other guest, Sepehr Peraste, who is a conducting student of Dr. Marchua's. So we've got these three outstanding gentlemen in the studio with me today, and I'm so honored to have you here today. Thanks so much for joining me. So I'm really excited about this concert tomorrow. And Ben, you're all set?
Ready to go.
Yeah.
Ready to do it. Absolutely.
Yep. Yep. You got your game face on, and yep, looking forward
good
to that.
Go.
That the saxophone concerto, and Sepehr, you're conducting that
yes.
piece.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm really happy about it.
Oh, that's
finally we could collaborate with Ben after many, many years. I think not many years, like 2 years.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. We have been waiting for this great opportunity, and I'm really happy.
It's something special to get to perform together with such a good friend.
So. Yeah.
Nice. Are both of you going to graduate this year?
I'm going to graduate next year.
Mm-hmm. I'm graduating in May.
Nice. What are your plans, Ben?
I'll be attending the University of Oklahoma, pursuing my master's degree in saxophone performance with Dr. Jonathan Nickel, son of Professor John Nickel at CMU.
Oh, nice. Keeping it all in the family.
Absolutely. Super excited.
Dr. Marchua, that the Shostakovich, as I mentioned, written by, and he wasn't quite 19, and that's he's still Shostakovich. You can hear that sarcasm and that wit and that that humor.
Absolutely.
That must be a fun piece for you to conduct.
Yeah, it's especially because there's so much contrast here and there. In the end, you know, Bernstein said that, you know, the boy started with all these little jokes and playful passages. And in the end, he actually became trapped by a work of art.
Ah.
And that seems to be what happens with the symphony. You know, the seriousness of it is reflected later. There's long themes and wonderful moments. And then, you know, he brings back, brings back the humor and sarcasm and the childish parts again.
Mm-hmm.
It's all embedded into one unit. It's a
wow. Piece, yeah. That's a lot to pack into a piece of music.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Dr. Marchua, we have listeners that will not be able to make it to tomorrow's concert because they're just too far away.
Mm-hmm.
But it is concert season in towns all over central and northern Michigan and everywhere. There are performances of, you know, middle school bands and choirs and high schools and community orchestras and bands and theaters. Why should people come out to hear not only tomorrow's concert here at CMU, but why should people leave the comfort of their home and turn off their Netflix and come out to hear a live concert?
Right, right. If you happen to hear the CMU Symphony Orchestra a long time ago and you hear it today, you can tell that the orchestra has come a long way. And that's something that makes us proud. And that's something that everybody deserves to listen to, and an honor that the students in the orchestra deserve as well from everyone else. As long as you can make it, I think it's definitely all worth it.
And this concert is free. So
yes, it's always free and open to the public.
Mm-hmm. Free, open to the public, free entertainment.
Yep.
And again, as you mentioned, it's an honor for the students to do that too, to perform for such an appreciative audience.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Sepehr, Ben, Dr. Marchua.
Thank you, Judy.
Thank you.
And we're going to go out with a little bit more Shostakovich before, let's remind folks, though, one more time, 7:30 tomorrow, Tuesday, April 23rd, at Staples Family Concert Hall, the final concert by the CMU Symphony Orchestra.
Yes.
Everyone is welcome, free, open to the public. If you can get there, great. If not, do go out and support concerts in your community.
Mm-hmm.
More music by Shostakovich, something very different. This is his Jazz Suite No. 1.
Oh,
it's
yes.
fun, it's cute, it's his lighter side, and Ben's got the thumbs up and he's doing air saxophone there. Yes, we will hear a saxophone in this too. So here's the Russian State Symphony Orchestra conducted by Dmitri Yablonsky in the Jazz Suite No. 1 by Dmitri Shostakovich.